listening to the USCA official podcast. If you have any suggestions or feedback, then we would love to hear from you. Get in touch through any of our social media platforms at US Eventing, and don't forget to subscribe on your preferred podcast platform to make sure you don't miss an episode. Welcome to the USCA official podcast, episode 294. And my goodness, listeners, it is a biggie one for you, because this week it is the five-star at Fair Hill. We have been waiting what feels like forever. It is in reality not forever, but we had to obviously not have it as expected last year due to the darned coronavirus, but it is back and it is going to be well worth the wait. So to help me preview the top competition, this show is going to be full of some very special guests. And to kick things off, none other than the man himself, Rob Burke. How is life with you?
Doing well, sitting here at home in Maryland, looking forward to the five-star coming to town.
It's exciting, isn't it? And do you know what? It is a venue that I know you have been very familiar with for a very long time. So how cool is it to kind of think, do you know what? There's going to be a five-star this week.
Yeah, you know, it's when you said we've been waiting a long time, I've been waiting like 20 years for this. I feel like it's been just kind of dragging on for eternity. But no, it's so exciting to have the world's eyes focused on our little home state here. And we can't wait to welcome everybody and show, you know, as great a time as anyone can imagine.
So set the scene for us. So for anybody who isn't familiar with Fair Hill, just talk us through kind of the setup and the infrastructure and just how it is going to sort of be laid out this week, because there are some changes to the sort of the traditional Fair Hill that had the four-star long format. What can you tell us about the venue and the setup?
Sure. So yeah, anyone who's been to Fair Hill for the normal, for the traditional four-star, forget what you know, because it's a whole different part of the property than what you've seen before. And, you know, just to kind of back it up and give a 30,000 foot perspective, this is at the top of the Chesapeake Bay. So what Maryland is known for is the Chesapeake Bay. It's our tributary. It's our water body sitting there right in the middle of the state that links into the Atlantic Ocean. We're, you know, boating mecca. And just beautiful countryside leading down into the water of the Chesapeake Bay. It was, I think, when there's an old story that when John Smith came and toured Maryland, there was a term, it was the land of peaceful living. So, you know, we consider ourselves about the best horse country in the world. Yeah, Kentucky's great as well, but we're pretty proud. So the Fair Hill Center, as I said, for anyone who's been there, forget what you know, because the new portion, which is essentially, it has two world-class arenas. It has a new five-star cross-country course. We got to see a little preview of it, what was it, last year, for just the three-star. And it's also the section where we'll host the Young Event Horse Championships. Beautiful turf that's been being established there since the 1920s, if not long before. This side of the property is also really well known for its steeplechase. If you go to the Fair Hill races earlier on in the year, beautiful steeplechase track. It's actually been completely renovated. It's much better than it ever was. So we'll be getting to run right beside that steeplechase course on the cross country track. And then there's all sorts of other cool little features of the property. You know, if you get some time to just go hike around, the original creator owner of this property, William DuPont Jr. He created all these, this was like a mecca he developed for his fox hunting and for his hounds. So he's got bridges and tunnels over roads so that he never has to have his hounds or his horses ever cross an actual road. It's just, it's an amazing, almost 6,000 acres worth of property to explore.
It sounds absolutely amazing. I mean, when you think of what kind of venue would be good to have a new five-star at, it sounds like it ticks every single box. What is the terrain like? Because I understand it is expected to be a tough enough cross-country track, and the terrain could well play a serious part in that.
It is. Yeah, there's hills. I mean, we consider this one of our best tracks of cross-country land in the country, because it does have some change in elevation. The footing can be quite good, but it's the fall, right? So you'll have, while you'll have the beautiful foliage, if we get a little rain, and there might be some rain on cross country day, you know, it's not going to be the easiest track to run on in the world. And I think Ian Stark Scotty is super excited to really give anyone who's coming here a world-class experience. It'll be a different American run for those that are coming and are used to Kentucky. It'll be a very different track because there is quite a bit of elevation.
That's exciting. And Ian Stark, it is his first five-star. He has obviously designed many four-star tracks, a European championship. He was an incredible horseman himself when he was riding as well, but it's his first five-star, which I think he's excited about. I think it gives him the opportunity. I know he likes the horses to understand the question, but he's not worried about giving the riders a sleepless night or two along the way. He likes to sort of make them think, and I think that will be a really, really interesting dynamic as well. Do you have, Rob, obviously you're relatively local, do you have a bit of a weather insight? Are we expecting some rain? I know Janelle Price is no doubt going to be doing a very, very energetic rain dance.
Yeah, no, seriously. I think right now the long-term forecast calls for some Saturday rain, but not like continuous. So that would be cross-country day. But lately, we've had a little bit of rain off and on, but the ground is not soft. It's actually quite nice right now, but it'll be most likely drying here early in the week. So we'll see if it gets greasy on Saturday.
Okay, watch this space. I was talking to Ian actually at Bicton at the last five star on British soil, and I know that the ground was something that they were taking really seriously, that they were working really hard on as well. So watch this space. What will the weather throw at it as well? What about the young event horse classes? Because obviously there is the three-star running as well, but we are going to see some of the stars of the future, horses that we hope that we will see back at the five-star here in 5-6 years time.
We consider this kind of like our Burley in a way, I guess, because at Burley you have the young event horse classes. So we do the same thing here. We've done it for a number of years, and every year it's gotten better and better. We kind of, while it's a lot for the young horses to look at, especially over in the new arena section, it's so good for the future of these horses, because our young event horse program is definitely an introduction to the sport. And you know, one of the fun things over the years is we've gotten to see some of the biggest stars, not only riders, but the horses come through these early YEH, the championships. You know, there are some years where I joke that we had a more impressive lineup in the YEH than we did in the four star in that particular year. But I think this year it's pretty stellar field for the five star. So now, the young event horse has its own little section on the cross-country track in what we have traditionally called the sawmill field. And, you know, it gives the youngsters some nice questions. It's a transition between show jumping and cross-country. And it has most of the normal features you'd see on a cross-country track with water and a ditch and some other things. So.
And interestingly, actually, a lot of the big name riders have got some very, very nice young horses coming through. One that stands out for me, actually, is one of Philip Dutton's in the five-year-old class, which is a horse called Lincoln's Address, who I'm pretty certain this is the horse that he actually flagged up as a serious superstar for the future. This was the horse that was going to stop him from retiring. So there you go, listeners, one for you to watch. Rob, before I let you go, I'm not going to be, well, can I just ask for your ones to watch this weekend, who you're most looking forward to seeing or what you're most looking forward to? I'm not going to put you on the spot for your podium, but what are you really looking forward to?
Yeah, no, look, for us, seeing the international riders come to town, seeing Ollie, Estier, Zara, Harry, Tim and Janelle is very special. So I think everybody's going to keep their eyes on those guys when they're coming in. I'm going to spend a lot of attention watching some of our locals. So Valerie Pride, Colleen Rutledge, and Emma Klugman, just rooting them on hardcore. And then, you know, some of the pairs that I love to see out there, Long Island T and Boyd. Philip always has at least two I love to watch. And Will Coleman, you know, I think he's stellar. and one other local, Savannah Fulton. She'll be in the Y8, so can't wait for that.
Yeah, and do you know what? There are some really, really good riders in some very good form. It could be, Rob, it could be the first US five-star win since 2008. I'm crossing, despite the brilliant international field coming across, I am crossing my fingers that we are going to see history made at Fairhill this weekend. Have a brilliant time. Thank you so much. It's an important, important weekend for US eventing. We're really looking forward to seeing how it plays out. Huge credit to the entire team at Fairhill and at Maryland who have been involved in it, because it takes a serious amount of effort to put on any event, and to actually get a five star is a big deal. So hats off to them, and yeah, enjoy every moment, Rob.
I will. Can't wait to see everybody here, and go Maryland.
Now, listeners, it is time for us to dig a little bit through the 49 combinations lining up for the Maryland Five Star. And I'm delighted to be joined by Sam Watson. Sam, how is everything with you?
Everything's good, Nicole. And the more I learn about this Five Star, the more I have huge envy for those that are there. It feels like it's going to be a great competition. Brilliant prize money up for grabs. And yeah, it's kind of cool, isn't it? I mean, I think Bicton was a great success. That was new into the calendar. And it feels like this could be every bit of a success as well on the other side of the pond.
I always love five-star week. The heart rate starts going. The fingers start frantically refreshing live scoring and social media. And I just, there's something really, really infectious about it. And we missed it so much last year. And, you know, you guys in the US have been so, so lucky to have two five stars this year. And it is a very, very cool addition to the calendar. We've already heard a little bit more about what the venue is like and what we've got in store. So we are going to pick apart some of the combinations. We're going to start with the home challenge, because it has been a long enough wait since there's been a US winner. Are we going to see one this weekend? Let's start the ball rolling by talking about some of those inform US riders. You've got the big names, Philip Dutton, Boyd Martin, Will Coleman, fresh from his Arkham victory. Sam, who do you think has the biggest chance of a home victory?
Well, I want to say that it was me that was talking about this horse on a podcast, kind of in terms of being its breakthrough year. I think it was, whether it was a, what are our one, you know, we've got ones to watch. We've got, there's the horse you don't know now, but you will this time next year, or something, the ridiculous title. I don't think it was that. I think it was more the sort of up and coming one. And it was RF Cool Play of Lynn Skamansky's, because this horse was runner up to Setzerleg at the Pan Am Games back in 2019. And then not much happened in 2020 for anyone really, but this horse did get its second four-star long under its belt, which, you know, I always think you want 2 four-star longs before you go to a five-star. It was fourth back in Ocala in 2019 and then 11th in Tryon. And that four-star long, a few time penalties, but like the dressage of this horse is really coming. It's Lynn Samansky as well, who people remember with Donner. You know, a great combination for the US team, a great pilot. And I don't know. I'm really on the fence now. I think this is the horse. This is probably one of the horses I'm most excited about seeing, because I feel that this is a young horse, but he's 13.
Didn't do an international until he was 7. So. Mm. I think maybe I've been a combination with Lynn since 2016, but again, had a bit of time off, missed a good part of 2016, 2017. So it's an exciting one.
It's an exciting one, but they just like 2 internationals in 2020 and 2 internationals in 2021, of which one was a rider fall at that really taxing 4-star short in Kentucky. You know, the weather went against them. I think it was kind of a 5-star short, I think, by all accounts. But still, you know, and I think Lynn's done the right thing. You know, it's a good one again for people to take note of, that she dropped down and did a 3-star short. Confidence is a massive currency in this game, I think. I think it's underrated and underused. I think with the growth of the short game, we do a lot of 4-star shorts with the horses. And while it is good to be sharp at the top end, I love a little cheeky 3-star short just to make the horses feel like they're an absolute king and they're really confident and happy on the job. So Lynn's done that. Has, you know, she really picks and chooses her times to push for the time. But you know, she did it at that tough Pan Am Games. And I know it's only a 3-star long on paper, but it was tough. I mean, it was only herself and Sets Her Leg that made the time in Lima. No one else was within 10 seconds of the time. So look, I just hope that that form comes back. And I think it would be great to see Lynn back at the top of a 5-star podium as well.
I think it is a very, very cool combination to be watching heading into the World Games next year as well. And you know, there have been some really good performances again in Bukolo with the Team Silver just last weekend. So I'm looking forward to seeing what she can do. Horse's first run at the level. Hasn't had a lot of speed form cross-country, which will be interesting to see what sort of time test Fairhill turns out to be. I am going to start my bidding with Philip Dutton, who is fresh from his victory at Morven Park last weekend with Quasi Cool. Comes forward with two really good horses, actually. Fernhill Singapore, who comes here off the back of two wins previously. Jumped clear around Kentucky in the spring on the horse's first run at the level. Interestingly, scored a 35 in the dressage at Kentucky in the spring. Scored a 23.8 last time out when winning in Aiken. So I mean, that's a hell of a difference. 12 penalties between the two. If he's anywhere near the 23.8 here, he is going to be near the top of the order. So watch out for them in the first phase, because good cross-country horse, pretty good show jumper, one or none. In fact, very good show jumper on the final day. Has had two poles down in, God, going back probably some 20 internationals there or thereabouts. Wow. So really, really nice horse. And so that's the first of his, a 12-year-old. The other being Sea of Clouds, who again has been in good solid form, picked up some good top 10 finishes at the 4-star level, was top 5 at Jersey Fresh earlier on in the year, 4th at Carolina in the 4-star short. So some very, very good form horses for 5-star debut for Sea of Clouds. But out of the two of them, Fernhill Singapore is my pick. Philip in brilliant form, actually. Obviously won at Morven Park. He won in Aiken and he won Great Meadow. He is in imperious form.
Well, Nicole, I don't know that in our usual fashion, we have gone for the complicated ones first. I've gone for one that I hope can sort of step up and a kind of a newbie to this level. You've gone for the legend that is Philip Dunn. But have we overlooked the most obvious combination here? The man that has probably consistently in recent years been the top person for the US at 5-star level, most recently with this horse with On Cue at Kentucky, finishing fourth. You know, On Cue, a mare that, like, again, I look at the age in 15 and I think, why was this horse really only coming onto my radar in 2020? Maybe the back end of 2019, but I mean, that was just in terms of us looking in at what was going on in the US. But that was a huge performance in Kentucky to finish fourth. 27 dressage, only 2 seconds over the time, one down on the last day, you know, made a big difference. That was the difference between second and fourth, putting a lot of pressure on Ballymore Class, and we know how good that horse is. I think keeping it simple, this has got to be the best combination for the US.
And I think you're right. She is the AEC National Advanced Champion. She won that huge $60,000 Adequan prize pot in August, at the end of August. So I think, okay, yeah, you're right. On Cue, Boyd Martin surely has got to be one of the home favourites. She's a really cool mare, actually.
Wasn't she Boyd's first? I mean, wasn't Boyd picked on her for the Olympics? And then obviously must have been a very small setback, because, you know, great
no,
to see her back in action.
No, it was Luke 140. Was
oh,
the
that was it.
Up. But she, I mean, she travelled out to Aachen, you know, went into quarantine with them as his sort of backup horse. You know, she could have been on the team quite easily instead of sets a leg. Yeah. You know, the argument would certainly have been there. And she has a really, really solid cross-country record, actually. She's never had an international cross-country jumping fault. No, one cross-country jumping fault, beg your pardon. A 20 penalties and a two-star back in 2018. But otherwise, she is very, very solid. Can have poles in the show jumping, I would say that. It'll be interesting to see how that form comes through at long format. I'm just looking back at her long format career, her last three long formats, one pole, two poles and one pole at Kentucky, Tryon and Bromont over the last couple of years. So interesting to watch the effect that that could have. I don't know how much breathing room there will be at the top of the table. She's very solid in the 20s in the first phase. And I think she has surely got a great chance. And Boyd actually has another shout as well in Long Island Tea, who, again, is a seriously cool horse, brilliant cross-country performer, and fast, I think, which will be interesting. Comes here off the back, though, of not having the happiest times at Plantation Fields last time out. But
and Kentucky.
Yeah, Kentucky as well. He had that awful time in Kentucky, didn't he? Three rides, two falls, and obviously on cue went really well. But good horse, can be fast, will be interesting to see how he campaigns him.
Well, it's a nice segue. The tale of Boyd's two horses at Kentucky, you know, kind of brings us to Kentucky because obviously that's going to be a massive, massive form guide for what's happening here. And I mean, are we allowed to talk about some of the challenges? We can come back to more. I know there are more US combinations in the field. I know we haven't touched on Will Coleman yet. But yeah,
Should we talk about the big hitter, the really big hitter? I mean, a double champion.
Yeah, but you see, you know, you can go that route and say that. But I mean, I think the biggest hitter in the field is Xavier Fair. Second at Kentucky.
Oh, you mean the horse that Cooley Masterclass beat at Kentucky?
Not this year.
No, very true. Sorry, I forgot, actually. Yeah, very true. Yeah. Very true. Yeah. Didn't beat him this year.
I'm taking the current form. He's got a second and a third at Kentucky. And, you know, obviously loves the US. And I think from what I'm hearing about this track, it's going to play to his strengths more than it's going to play to Cooley Masterclass strengths. That's what I'm hearing. In terms of terrain, like I don't think it can be hilly and taxing enough on the cross country for Xavier Fair. Like Xavier Fair's crowning moment, he had this reputation of being a very cheeky cross country horse. You know, not being a cross country horse at all. You know, being quite difficult, really. And then suddenly is, I think, one of two horses to make the time at Badminton.
With
Le Bio Aesthetic Sam being the other one, so and finishing third, you know,
I was actually amazed that Tim didn't take Xavier Fair to the Olympic Games. I mean, obviously not privy to any of the behind the scenes info, but there could well have been a good reason. I genuinely thought his performance in Kentucky was superb.
I think that's a fair shout. Yeah.
Cooley Masterclass, going back on him, picked up 6.4 time penalties in Kentucky. He's 16 this year. I don't think they would be flying him over to Fairhill if they didn't feel that he was in serious order at home. He should be, I think, probably the horse that leads the first phase. But I definitely think he isn't as unbeatable as perhaps we thought he might be going into Kentucky this year.
You see, the key here is I would have always had a question mark. Yes, this horse leads the dressage. I think that's a fair shout. It is the time. It's the unknown with Fairhill. It's the big factor of five star. You know, it's the big thing that five star brings. That's becoming more and more evident. So for people following the sport recently, I mean, when I say recently, I'm even the story of the last two decades, like what we've started to see from sort of 2000, 2010, was the traditional event horse type having to adjust to a sport that was becoming more dressage and jumping focused, with a lot of the stamina being taken out of it. Then what we have seen in this decade, and that's because the removal of the steeplechase and courses just aren't as long as they used to be, and stamina isn't such an issue. And then now we have seen, these horses that were bred back in the early 2000s, all coming to the top level now. And some of them do lack the stamina. Some of them are more bred for power, more for dressage, more for jumping, less so for cross country and galloping. And we're seeing time penalties becoming more of a factor at five star. And Cooley Masterclass, he you know, it was unfortunate that he came out at the horse inspection in Kentucky. So we're not going to hold that against him in terms of performance, but he did have 6.4 time penalties. And I think that around a Kentucky where four made the time and a couple got very close. The likes of Grovine de Rev getting very close. And, you know, Grovine de Rev was a couple of seconds over in Tokyo and stuff like that. Ballymore Class was actually 2 seconds over. He was comfortably inside the time at Tokyo. Classic Moe made the time. Another horse that we'll get here, Xavier Fair, made the time. So they were, you know, the time was in play at Kentucky. Three of the horses that made it are back here, back in the US, and they're all actually interesting that no US-based horses made the time in Kentucky. They were all, Kevin McNabb was the other one with Don Keedam. So I think that's going to play a part again from what I'm hearing about Fairhill. And I think that goes against Cooley Masterclass.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because Cooley Masterclass, I saw him at Bicton in a short format four star. He turned round reasonably quickly after Bicton was listed as a reserve horse for Oliver for Tokyo. And he went for the four star short there. Would have been a really tough track, 4 seconds over the time. He's quick enough in the short format of the competition. That was a tough time day. I don't see them putting him on a plane and taking him over to Fairhill if they don't feel that he is in great, great form at home, because it's too expensive to do. So I think he should be highly respected. I know that the prediction centre has him out as a red hot favourite. If we talk about a couple of those others, because you've mentioned two others that made the time in Kentucky we've not touched upon yet. The first one being Classic Moe and Janelle Price. First of all, listeners, how lucky are you guys? Because you get to see Classic Moe again. She is 18. She is a badminton winner. She's been fourth at a really tough World Games. She is such an absolute stalwart. She is a proper five-star campaigner. And you can actually hear from Janelle a little bit later on in the show as well. But this could well be her swan song. And we said that about Kentucky. That was certainly the thought in the spring. She's had a couple of really easy intermediate runs as her prep for this. I just think it'll be really cool to see her. I'm looking forward to it. I think she's brilliant. She has nothing left to prove. And I hope she goes and has a super fun weekend. And who knows, because she could well end up pretty high up on that podium if it is a serious time test, because she is rapid.
She is rapid. I mean, you've got to rewind the clock a little bit. She made her five-star debut back in Le Moulin in 2014 to tee her up for her first World Games, where she just so announced herself the fastest horse around WEG in 2014, that wet French World Games that any of us that were there are still scarred from, where she finished fourth, 10 seconds over the time, and then would go on in, I mean, not similar conditions, but, you know, what they weren't far off at badminton, a really tough time test. We always said that that's what is what she would need. That was what she became labeled at. And we knew that was her speciality, to win badminton. You know, you have a badminton winner at this inaugural Maryland five star. You know, I think that's so cool. You've got a 2-time Kentucky winner as well. It is very, very cool to have that. It's amazing. It is doable. I mean, don't forget that we wrote Nereo off a little bit before he won badminton at a similar age, when he looked like he was over the top and past his best. And I think these great eventers show that they're not, you know, when they're managed well, which Team Price absolutely would do. I'd love it. I'd love to see a really top class performance here. And I think both the Prices want something pretty similar, which is a very influential cross country.
Yeah, they say that as well. A little bit later on, you'll hear from Tim too. I am just going to put the other horse out there that actually made the time in Kentucky, and for me, were one of the rounds of the day, because I was a little bit, not on the fence about them, but we didn't really know what the sort of combination would be able to sort of produce at five star. It was a five star debut for the horse. They made a big gamble going over to Kentucky in the spring, and that is Harry Mead and Superstition. They actually finished fifth there. They were absolutely incredible. I think they had the worst of the weather over Derek de Grazia's cross country track, and it was just proper classic, amazing cross country riding from Harry. The horse is unbelievably talented, has won an Event Rider Masters leg. Harry has campaigned him pretty carefully, and I know they had a couple of setbacks which sort of ruled them out of the Europeans, and it's, you know, not been plain sailing. Harry had a really nasty fall at Blenheim as well, so he's been quite selective about the horses that he's ridden since then, very much on an eye to be as fit as he possibly can be for Fairhill. And I very much think they will be in with a good shout. There's some really, really good horses, aren't there?
Yeah, but I think you have kind of hit a very big nail on the head here. And this is the fascinating thing about eventing. So, you know, Cooley Masterclass, I think we can all agree, is probably the strongest in the first phase. And we know he can deliver. You know, this is a two-time five-star winner, so definitely the obvious one, but we feel might have a weakness with regards to time, with those some 15 to, I think, about 17 seconds over the time in Kentucky in the spring, whereas Harry made it. And I think the argument here is that, is Superstition and Harry Mead, are they the most complete combination in the field in terms of that they just might not have any weaknesses? You know, Xavier Fair and Tim, we know, are going to be strong on cross country, as will Classic Moe. But for both of the price horses, will they quite be strong enough in the first phase? Could they be susceptible to a rail on the last day? I think harsh to say on Xavier Fair, he has a very good record, but I always worry watching him.
He has
on the last
bad
day.
Rap, because he had a couple of pretty prolific poles down, I think, earlier on in his cheekier days at the five-star level. And therefore, we all kind of think he's not that good a show jumper. But actually, he's got a pretty solid record in that phase.
Yeah, it's pretty solid. I mean, I remember watching him in Kentucky this spring and kind of feeling, I've always felt that with Ballinmore Class, possibly up until Kentucky, I always felt that his record didn't do him justice, that he was, you know, and he kind of duly delivered then in Kentucky this year. Look, Superstition, when you look at him, he does kind of, he's between a rail and a clear, but on paper. But again, I think he looks very good when he's jumping. I just think that, again, with age, you know, only a 12-year-old, Harry's not won a five-star. He came very close. He was top three in that very difficult badminton, top five at Kentucky here at the start of the year. Superstition, I think, has got a big shout here. And it would be cool. It would be a big, big moment for Harry, and it would be one that's earned and deserved for sure.
I am going to throw another European contender into the mix, and it is a horse that I have to admit I am really looking forward to see step up to five-star debutant in Babylon de Gama, which is a 10-year-old ridden by Astier Nicolas for France. The horse is, to be honest, very, very, very talented. Has been top 20 at Blenheim in the big 8 and 9-year-old class at the 4-star short level. Has been on the podium at Le Lion d'Angers in the young horse classes. I would say would have been, I think, one on the French team for Tokyo this summer. But unfortunately, injury ruled them out. And then they rerouted back end of the year over here to Fairhill. They finished third in Semur, which has very good form in so much as the horse that won Julia Krajewski's Amanda Benaville is obviously the new Olympic champion. They were a little bit off the pace in the dressage. They've been scoring around the 30, 31, 32 barrier. If they could break that down and just sneak sub 30, which would be the first time they've done it at the 4-star level and above, then they are unbelievably dangerous, because it's a good jumper. It can be a fast horse, has made the time round Blair Castle, which is a tough old place to make the time. And round Semur as well earlier on this year, round Buccalo. It's a really good horse. Look out for them. If they're in touch in the first phase, again, one that could deliver in all phases, but is a five-star debutant. So
10-year-olds as well. Like, it's that's It's cool. See, it is the right age, you know, the autumn of your 10-year-old year to be making that five-star debut. We know we've got the Blenheim 8 and 9-year-old classes. If horses are at that four-star short level when they're 8, some of them doing four-star longs when they're 8 as well, they get a year to sort of reaffirm that form or step up to the four-star long as a 9-year-old. And then, you know, here we go, autumn as a 10-year-old. Some solid form. I agree with you, Nicole. I've not seen this horse in the flesh that I can remember anyway. But yeah, like it ticks a lot of the boxes with that Lilian 7-year-old podium finish. You know, that is always a big one. We've seen so many good horses come through Lilian. And then Samur and Blair, 2 FODs. Oof, it's strong. It's not strong enough in the first phase at the moment. And you can't, like, you know, I'd happily lay a bet that this horse doesn't go into the 20s because I think the only thing that you've got going for you is that you've got an Olympic silver medalist on his back and the horse is 10. So is very much open to improving and will certainly improve in time. But this is the first 5-star test and has yet to go sub 30 at 4-star. So 2 extra flying changes in there.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know how the changes are. I know that SDA actually had a conversation with the ground jury at Blair because felt the horse was undermarked. And he sort of said, you know, what are you looking for? So that I know, because I'm obviously not delivering it yet, but he felt that the test was better than it was scored.
I would trust the opinion of SDA Nicola. He's not one that's going to be complaining and not know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And if he's complaining to the grand jury about a 30.9, then that is telling us that he felt that this horse was comfortably working in the 20s. So that's a fair old guide. And 30.9 is the horse's best test for quite a long time, actually since Blair 2 years ago.
Yeah, had a bit of time off, as we say, minor injury after some year. But I honestly think, again, it's a long way to fly some of these European horses over, and they're not going to be making the trip if they don't feel they can be competitive. He could have, I think, taken the horse to the European Championships. I don't know the ins and outs of the French selection, but I would have thought, unless he needed another month on his fitness, that would have been an option. I've got 2, though, that we haven't mentioned for the home nation that I think could be ones to really challenge. And there's 3, actually. Doug Payne, Quantum Leap, which is a really, really exciting one. But the 2 I'm going to talk about is Will Fordry and Will Coleman. Oh. So Will Coleman, obviously, off the back of the Arkin victory with Off the Record, is in great form. Horse is in great form, comes forward with Tight Lines and Don Dante, both of whom need to improve in the first phase to be really challenging up there with the likes of Coolie Masterclass, Oliver Town, and a few of those others. But very good in the jumping phases. Tight Lines, if the time is tight, could be one to watch as well. 4 seconds over the time in Kentucky this spring, top 15 there. The other one I was going to mention was Will Fordry's Mama's Magic Way, who I have to be honest, I absolutely love. Listeners, if you're watching Fair Hill, watch out for him because he's just unbelievably cool. Does need to improve in the first phase. Scored a 36.2 at Plantation Field last time out, which, you know, is not where he needs to be at 5-star. Only a 10-year-old. Went to Kentucky, top 15. Jumped super around the horse's first run at the level. So I think he'll have learned from that. He'll be looking to improve on that. Will, I know, rates the horse unbelievably highly. I think the plan earlier in the year, I think we spoke to Will on this podcast, was very much possibly a trip over to Burley because he feels that the horse is a real Burley type horse. That sounds like it could really fit with the stamina test that is Fair Hill by the sounds of what everything that we've heard so far. I just cannot wait to see them. Brilliant jumping machine, cross country, good show jumper. Watch out for them in the dressage because they need to bring that score down a little bit. But I think it's a really, really exciting one for the future.
Nicole.
Yeah.
I am again going to give out to you because you didn't start with the beautiful Boyd Mart when we were doing the US horses. And I think we've left out the second strongest contender for the US. And I know if you go on their most recent run, which was Aachen, you could leave them out because there were time penalties, there was a fence, and there was I was going to say an average dressage score because it was a 35.6, but it was actually such an outlier for this horse, like probably the worst dressage test this horse has done in about 5 years. But Lauren Nicholson and Vermiculus, I felt so sorry for them in Weg on home soil 2018. It didn't go to plan, had a fall there, just didn't go to plan for the US. She came out with such a bang the next year to nail a top 10 at both Kentucky and then Burley. After that Kentucky ninth place finish, they did, of their next 11 dressage tests, 10 have been sub 30. And it's only just this, I don't know what went wrong in Aachen with the 35.6, but you know, this horse did a 29 in Kentucky, but has banged out a good few 27s. I think really solid cross country since 2018, since Tryon. Always, yes, does get a couple of time penalties. So we couldn't be talking about, had 5.2 at Kentucky in the spring, which isn't low, like 13 seconds over, like it's a little bit less than Cooley Masterclass. She could be one of Cooley Masterclass's closest challengers in the first phase. And yes, you know, likely for a rail on the last day, but those horses can jump clear. Like that's the other thing to rule in. So like Lauren Nicholson and Vermiculus, I think we're always naturally drawn to, you know, those horses stepping up, like RF Cool Play and Superstition not stepping up, but still a young horse. And then obviously Babylon Da Gama, I'm really looking forward to seeing that. Like, of course, you have that excitement around those newbies, but five star, time and again, it's the old warriors that come to the top. And Vermiculus is certainly one of those. Sparks will really enjoy watching this combination because Vermiculus is just really cool, cheeky, beautiful horse, actually. Beautiful. So really gorgeous. Can't wait to see them. Yeah.
Interestingly, in terms of their speed, they were 2 seconds over at Great Meadow in the four-star short, which they were one of the fastest of the day. There were two inside the time. Lauren's Other Ride, Landmarks Monte Carlo was inside. Emma Klugman and Bendigo were also inside. But,
But off the record had time penalties, and yeah, off the record is your Aachen winner. So that is interesting.
Singapore did as well. So, you know, for Philip Dutton. So I agree. I think a very good shout. And I would say Sharon White and Cooley on Show. Sam, I know that Sparks, your wife, absolutely adores that horse and will be cheering very loudly. I'm going to put you on the spot. I am going to ask you, Sam Watson, podium and dark horse, so you're one to watch.
My lord, I'm going to go for, Vermiculus best at the US, but possibly just coming shy of the podium because I think I have to put Cooley Masterclass third, Xavier Fair second, and Superstition first. Oh, you horrible man, Sam Watson. You put three Europeans on the podium. So biased. And I hope for the home team. I think the US deserve it. They're on such a roll, such a good arc and such a good buccalo. But look, the form book is telling me that the horses here are just a little bit shy of the European horses again. But I think Vermiculus to be the best of them. I think putting Superstition as the winner, is that not...
He's been top five at Kentucky, Sam. So.
Okay, yeah. Dean would be giving out to me, wouldn't he? Right, well, that's it. I'll have a little look through the rest there. Well, you do yours now. Your lot.
Don't you worry, US listeners. I've got your back. I'm going to say we're going to see a US winner at Boyd Martin on cue, top of the podium. They were fourth in Kentucky earlier this year. She won the big AEC class as well. I think she's the US national champion. She's the advanced national champion. I think she is going to be the Fairhill champion. So Boyd Martin on cue win. I think in second, we are going to see Harry Mead Superstition, Astier Nicolas, Babylon Da Gama in third. And my dark horse is going to be Jenny Branigan and Stella Artois.
Okay. A similar one. I'll give you a dark horse off and we'll just go, whoever does better wins. But I would go with Zara and Classifair.
Okay.
Nothing massive on the record, but I just think a good five-star rider. Like, I think Zara will have the horse ready. And as well, if this horse I remember class affair, I think doing a 3-star long as a 6-year-old, I want to say, in Campfire. I think I remember them doing that with their, you know, when this horse was produced over here. Just loads of gallop and stuff. So I think everything could go right for a kind of a career PB in these.
Okay, exciting. She's still looking, well, she's won a world title. She's not won a 5-star apart from the world title, but.
Yeah, okay. It wouldn't, we couldn't, I see what you're saying, but I don't think we could go with the infographic of first 5-star win.
No, first 5-star win for Zara Tyndall, the former world champion. I mean, I don't think that's true, to be honest. Sam, it has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Nicole. I hope that's the appetite whetted for this inaugural Maryland. I cannot wait to see it. Cannot wait to see what Ian Stark has in touch with them as well. So thanks for having me on the show.
Now, before we finish this episode of the USCA official podcast, we wanted to give you some behind the scenes of some of the riders, some of whom have made a pretty long journey to get over to Fair Hill. So this is what they had to say building up to the big 5-star this week. First up, it is none other than Tim Price, who comes forward on his Kentucky runner-up at Xavier Fair, looking forward to seeing what they can do on another trip on US soil for Team New Zealand. This is what Tim has to say.
Hey Sambo, yeah, we made it. It was job one, getting over here with two healthy horses and two riders. Not every rider made their plane, so we're normally the ones to not make it. So we're quite glad we got to the airport just in time and have got over here to Fair Hill. It's a bit hard to know. It's all to be revealed, really. We've seen a few jumps as we've driven around the road or gone on a hack, and the venue feels very new. There's not a lot of permanent infrastructure, but yeah, lovely looking surfaces, and the main ring area looks like it's going to do the job just nicely for us. So pretty keen to go and have a little bit of a look around the cross country when we're allowed in the next couple of days, and to start putting some work into the horses and preparing for the week and weekend ahead. Hopes and expectations would be the tougher the better on the cross country day. Janelle and I have got a couple of pretty proper 5-star cross country horses, and sounds like the last 3 minutes of the course is all uphill, and hopefully that works into our favour to push ourselves up the leaderboard through the three phases, and so hoping for a good one.
So we go from one Price to another. I've already said she is going to be doing a rain dance this weekend. She would love a seriously tough cross-country track. It is Janelle Price with her 2018 badminton winner, the absolutely brilliant Classic Moe. This could be one of the last times that we see Classic Moe at 5-star. So if you're over in Fairhill, enjoy it. If you're watching online, enjoy it, because she has just been such a superstar for the sport of eventing. She is an absolute 5-star machine. And this is what Janelle has to say coming up to this weekend.
Hi guys. So fairly early days. We just rolled in yesterday, and hard to get a true feel for the venue at this early stage. We're sort of not allowed a lot of places, but what we have seen, it certainly looks like they've done a great job. There's sort of miles and miles of beautifully mown and manicured green grass, as you come to expect in the States. It looks all fairly new arenas, leading up to the main arena. There's a couple of new working arenas, two of them, and then the main arena. Cross country, we've just sort of seen snippets, but certainly driving around the county, it feels like there should be some hills out there. I'm pretty desperate to see them as long and steep as you can dream of. That would be my wish has come true. And just looking forward to getting underway. Like any 3-day, these early part of the week, you sort of feel like you've got so much time on your hands. I've actually just rocked up at a gym 10 minutes up the road, just filling in the days. But, before you know it, we'll be flat out, and the heat will be increasing. Anyway, we'll keep you posted, but that's all we've got for now. Thanks.
now from US-based Australian, one of three different Australian riders in the field. Dom Schramm rides his longtime campaigner at yet another five-star. It is the wonderful Bolitaire B.
Hi, Nicole. Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to the Marilyn five-star. I think it's really exciting for us to have this new five-star event in America. And the whispers I've been hearing is that it's Starkey's built a monster track, which is a little scary, but at the same time, I think it's very healthy for the sport here, especially for us here in the US, that we get exposed to the more burly badminton-esque type courses. I think that's what we really need practice with. So that's good. You know, of course, it's always, you know, we're dealing with the Formula One end of the sport. So it's been a bit of a flurry. You know, it's always mad rush here at the end, trying to fit everything in. But I got to say, I'm very fortunate, knock on wood, that Bolitaire B's had a great run up between Kentucky to this event. He's had two outings and he was second at both four-star shorts, so can't ask for much more than that. Been grinding away at the dressage with the help of my good friend Nicholas Fife, and the changes have improved a lot, and I feel like we're going to try and show the judges some more you know, beautiful dressage work. You know, of course, the cross country is going to be a big test. I think the fitness of it is going to be a huge factor, especially if we get some rain. It looks like there's a big mountain at the back there, and that's going to be a big test. So hopefully he's up to that. He's probably not quite as lean as he normally is, but he's definitely the healthiest he's ever been, just less stressed. And just to me, I can just feel like he's, you know, feels better in his body. So that combined with the fact that we don't have to put him on a plane or ship him for 12 hours is really nice. It's a really nice advantage that normally the Brits get on us. So it's going to be nice to have that. But yeah, you know, my personal goals, I'd love to get a sub 35 dressage score. I've been working hard on that for years and haven't been able to put it all together yet at the big show, so that would be a great result. And then obviously trying to finish on it as close to it as I can. So I'm excited. You know, we all work very hard. Every rider that's entered always works, you know, the whole team behind them works extremely hard to get a horse fit and ready for these events. And you know, we're all very competitive. It's just, you know, you got to try to enjoy it and put that hard work to and practice under pressure. So, all right, that's my plan, and I'm looking forward to seeing you there.
So there you have it, listeners. Some little behind-the-scenes insights from some of the riders competing this weekend. And that brings to a close our Fairhill Maryland five-star preview show here on the USCA official podcast. We hope you've enjoyed it. We would love to know who you think will be on top of that podium. Will it be the first US winner since 2008 when Philip Dutton won Kentucky with the Great Connaught? Or will the European party be out, or the New Zealand party, Australian party too, be out to rain on the home team's parade? Watch this space, but we would love to know who you think will top that podium. So get in touch at US Eventing. Enjoy the big five-star week. Huge, huge weekend for the sport of eventing in the US. Enjoy it. And we will look forward to reviewing all of the action once it's all done and dusted. But for now, that is all we've got time for on the USCA official podcast. Big thank you to all of our guests, and we'll be back with you very soon for more.
Thanks for listening to the USCA official podcast. If you have any suggestions or feedback, then we would love to hear from you. Get in touch through any of our social media platforms at US Eventing, and don't forget to subscribe on your preferred podcast platform to make sure you don't miss an episode.